So I'm reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 to 16. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. I am Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his waist. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance.
After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which three them fell. The horn looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favour of the saints most high, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. I'll just pray for Simon. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is sometimes easy to understand and grasp, and sometimes, like this passage before us, Lord, has strange meanings and interpretations which Daniel could see, Lord, but we need explanation from you. So we just pray, Lord, that as Simon brings your word to us, that he will speak clearly about what these mean for us and what it means for the whole world, the challenge of the gospel to be brought to the whole world before the time's end. So we just pray for Simon and his clarity of vision and thought and speech, Lord. We just pray that we will understand these mysteries before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Les. Well, good morning, and we're in for a continued of the journey that we started last week. We looked at Daniel's prophecy, and we compared that with a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had had. And the two had kind of similarities and differences, but they talked about empires coming and going. And they talked about how this rock came along. Pardon me. And smashed all those empires into smithereens. And we saw these hideous beasts rise and fall. And that's the little bit in the part of Daniel at the beginning, just before the bit that Les read just now. And now we're reading the next part of the story, when the last monster, last beast, the beast of iron came along, and that rock comes along. And then we read about what happens next. Well, possibly not straight afterwards. So if you could have that passage that we just read open for you, hopefully that will help you. Like Les said, there's some things that come and go, and it looks a bit tricky, but it's because it's prophetic and it's a dream. And in dreams, things don't always happen where the next part, you don't, when you're dreaming, you don't always realise that the bit you're looking at didn't quite exactly fit exactly on from the last part. It seemed to naturally do in your dream, but there could be like a big time gap, pardon me, big time gap between one bit and the next. And it's like that in Daniel's dream. So time passes, but he's looking at important moments in the course of time. And last time we got to that point of that rock arriving and the fourth empire. And then in this dream, we hear about this boastful horn. Horn is sort of a sign of strength, so it's a power of some sort which speaks, boasts about itself and himself, and it's a monster. So I've titled this sermon "To Infinity and Beyond." Not necessarily because it's about a toy robot, but the idea is that. Of course, the things we're seeing here are not really all in this time period. We think of time as being infinite, but beyond time, there's other events that are going to happen, and this is what we're exploring today. And so that's why I entitled it that. And I'm going to look at three themes to do with this, or three sequences of events. So we're going to first look at the beginning of the end times, then we're going to look at the final judgment, and then we're going to look at the end, what happens in the end. Bearing in mind that these are not exactly like we think of end when time is fixed, because we're talking about beyond infinity in that sense. So the beginning of the end. And we see some things that we read here about this boastful horn. And this horn will actually ensnare many. And Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, 24, verse 24, false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the saints. See, I have told you ahead of time. In fact, this boastful mouth, this power that comes along, may even deceive some of us. That doesn't mean to say we lose, God forgets who we are, and we might lose track of who we are, but he never forgets. Like I said to the young people in the words, surely, absolutely surely, he is going to be with us through all of this. And the end of the age is when he comes again. So the age we're in now is the end times, because it's after he said that. He said that before he went up to heaven to his disciples, to the saints. We are already at the beginning of the end. But it's not very clear how long that is. And I'm not going to try and... you'd be probably quite relieved to know that it's not going to happen tomorrow, as far as I know. But it might do. There's nothing certain in these things. It doesn't give you an exact timescale. But please think that it's possible that he might come tomorrow. And the fact is, we are in that age, that single age, leading up to the end times. So these boastful claims and this powerful creature, or power of some sort, will in fact be overthrown. And we read about that in Revelation. So in Revelation 13, it says, "The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, on each head a blasphemous name." See, this quite closely relates to what Daniel said, isn't it? No surprise, but this is John's revelation, right at the end of the Bible. "The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound on it, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?' The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people." So what I said to the young people is true. Jesus has promised to be with the saints to the very end of the age. This promise reassures us that we are not alone in enduring and being faithful. He is with us. And he'll always be with us. He said, always. And we are in that final age. And these are the end times of the prophecy of Daniel and in Revelation. And Revelation gives a lot more detail to the dream that Daniel had. John had a sight of exactly the same things happening. And But he sees, obviously, being a different age, different generation, he interprets what he sees in a slightly different way in his head. So when he writes it down, it's the same story, but there are subtle differences in the way he describes it. He gives much more detail. But please think about it, the very important thing about the, just the sequence of the stories, not the detail of the... try and get into... not get caught up in detail, but think there is a beast going to arise who will be deceiving people all over the earth, but there is an end, and there absolutely will be a time when that comes abruptly to an end. And in Daniel 7 verse 11, this is how he writes it. Then I came to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. So there will be a final judgment. There will be an end to all of that tribulation. And this is how I've tried very hard to get the exact wording of this, but this is how someone imagined this to be the end, that judgment. And this is just an imagination from someone else who isn't a Christian. And I'd like to or possibly not a Christian. Imagine a great chamber where the souls of the dead are gathered from all tribes and nations, from all parts of the globe. Imagine the center of the room, a single figure with his face hidden, God himself. Now imagine all these souls conversing together and forming committees. Each subcommittee gets together to decide God's fate. An Auschwitz victim gets up and she says he must suffer the indignity of being insulted simply for being a Jew. A victim of Pol Pot says he must undergo excruciating torture just like they did. Another says that he must be betrayed by his closest friend and be left alone and friendless. Another says that he must undergo a trial and be convicted of crimes for which he was innocent. The clamour gets louder and louder. Each committee brings their complaints to the central committee. And finally, the leader of the central committee brings this petition to God. And then there is an overwhelming silence as one by one, everyone begins to realize he already did that. So that's quite a fanciful way of looking at things, and it's completely the wrong way round. Because of course, we don't judge God. We don't get to do that. He will judge us. And the story kind of demonstrates how we would like judgment to be, that we would like to choose what happens because of who we are. But actually, God is in charge. And in the judgment, there are thrones. And it's not a game of thrones. This is an actual things that are going to happen. And Revelation, again, tells us a bit more about this event. So in the final judgment and in Revelation 20, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead and that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." So in the end, that last sentence, there will be a binary choice for all people. Do you serve the beast or do you serve the lamb? Is your name written in the book of life or isn't it? Two possibilities. And the prophecy of Daniel and the prophecy of Revelation of John both point to the same division. The same book is opened in Daniel's prophecy and the same judgment is made. And this is a terrible thing. This is a very serious thing. So if you haven't decided to follow the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, please may I ask you to seriously consider the consequences. You really, really don't want to go into the lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if it really worries you and disturbs you, me talking about these things, please either talk to me or one of the elders afterwards, and they'll be very glad to reassure you that the lake of fire is for those who have not chosen to follow the Lamb. There is a way out. Follow him. Okay, so after the judgment, we come to the end. This is the end of the whole, of everything. The end of creation, as we know it, and the beginning of the very, very end. So we've come past the beginning of the end, to the judgment, and now to the end. And this is both the prophecy in Daniel and the prophecy in Revelation come to the same result and talk about it in a slightly different way. But the end has this, this is verses 13 and 14, and this is how Daniel writes in verse 13. Sorry, lost my spot. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the cloud of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And that is the end. And this is a prophetic dream, so we don't quite know how long it takes to do all of that judgment. We don't know quite how long it takes before we get to the judgment. But we do know that it ends with all authority, glory, and sovereign power being granted to this one who's like the Son of Man. And as we read at the beginning of the service, in the beginning of Revelation, this one like the Son of a Man, and he's given a description in Daniel, like clothing white as snow, hair of his wool white like wool, a river of fire flowing from out before him. Those descriptions are very similar to the way that John describes Jesus, because it's absolutely clear that it's Jesus. The hair on his head was like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. So the idea, the two revelations, they are the same revelation. They're the same events happening, the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. This is what he looks like to both John and Daniel. And he is, and he calls himself, the Son of Man. When he was speaking on earth, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. And that's exactly how we should know that Jesus Christ is this Son of Man approaching the Ancient of Days and being given all authority forever and ever and ever. Now, you'd think, and Jesus knew this, that things, his life on earth might be slightly different to the one he had. John writes in his Gospel, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So what do you think he might do with all that power forever and ever, a sovereign power over the entire cosmos? What did he do? Well, what he did was wrapped a towel around his waist and started washing other people's feet. See, that's what he's like. And that's why he was given the authority. So at the end, this person who's being given ultimate power and authority is like that. And I can explain why from a poem in Philippians. And I'll finish with this poem. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, son of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, this is the one word, this word therefore is the key to this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So our response to that should be, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The end. That's it. And I'd like us to reflect on that, that really our prayer every day should be, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Those are pretty much the last words in the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. And I think it should end. There's got to be an end, hasn't there? And I will have another sermon later on, even after the end. And in August, I'm going to continue looking at some of the prophecies in Daniel. But that's a great way to end knowing who it is we worship. And we're going to sing a song, There Is a Higher Throne.